Are you alone? Listen to Full Credit to the Boys podcast, and you'll laugh in 40 seconds.
Relax, don't do it when you want to come. Back in town. Back in town.
Take me to the April sun in Cuba.
New season of Full Credit to the Boys is here. Brought to you by Bluebet, NDF Group, Rode Microphones, and Mare Inc. Go to Mare Inc. for all your FCTTB merch.
This week on Full Credit to the Boys, we welcome China bringing back anal COVID swabbing. We reveal all the secrets from the NRL preseason, and we tell you where every team will finish in 2022. Welcome to Full Credit to the Boys.
You're playing games with my heart.
Well, hello. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to Full Credit to the Boys, live from the Craig Gower Twin Studios in 2022. You can find us on Twitter at FCTTB_podcast, Instagram FCTTB podcast, all one word. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at former_legend. You can find the bloke to my right on Twitter at Sid Punts, all one word. He's a man who has recently been described as a horrible, horrible man and a psycho by Boris Kerygleekian. He taught Scott Morrison all the words to April Sun in Cuba over the summer, and tonight he's wearing a Russian flag as a cape. Welcome, Sid.
Yes, well, hello, former. Hello, Australia. Hello, Vladimir Putin. I know you're listening, Pootie. He loves Grab a Mirror, former. Vlad, message to you, bro. Grab a mirror. Cut it out. No one's impressed. I was impressed when I saw him riding his horse shirtless. But this Ukraine stuff, former, I'm not sure if I'm qualified to talk about it, but it's too much. Stop it, Pootie.
It's never stopped you before.
That's enough about that. To more pressing issues, former, in the off-season, I had to close down my ukulele lessons business. It was going so well. I had a lot of Hillsong people on my books. They love a sing-along, former.
Don't they? It's not a concert. No, it's not a concert.
Any publicity is good publicity, but it was going well till stupid Carl Stefanovic ruined everything. But I'm pumped for a new season and the introduction of Full Credit to the Boys TV this season too, former, just quietly.
Yes, of course, yes.
We've got some cracking episodes coming up for our Patreon subscribers. So it's going to be a fantastic year. How you been anyway?
Yeah, good. Look, just heading back to the Russia thing. I mean, it's obviously they're heading into war, Sid, and we've got the Western world's now reacted by basically trying to shun everything Russian. They've kicked them out of the FIFA World Cup soccer, not that it'll affect me or you.
No.
They've kicked a driver out of Formula One because he's Russian, and they're going around every sport and basically find reasons to kick Russians out. And I've never been so proud as when I spoke to you earlier this afternoon and you joined me and said you'll no longer be viewing Russian orgy porn. I mean, that is a big step for both of us. I know that it will affect us, but, you know, we've got to make a statement, don't we?
Look, I don't think I'm qualified to make any statement on these world matters. I let Twitter decide these things. I'm staying well out of it. I'm still going to be consuming Russian products, vodka, maybe a little bit of porn. I don't know.
Well, the other thing that sort of grabbed my attention over the summer, Sid, outside of sport, was Australia's most wanted man, Graham Potter, was arrested. Now, first of all, Graham Potter sounds like a bloke who does the plant segment on Better Homes and Gardens, but whatever. And I didn't know a lot about the bloke, so I've had to do a bit of Googling. Not a great bloke, I've got to be honest. He's finally been arrested, though. He spent 12 years on the run as Australia's most wanted man.
Is that a new record?
I don't know, but you give that Naden bloke a run, I'll tell you. Yeah, he's 64. He got arrested. He disappeared in 2010. He was due to appear in Melbourne Magistrates Court. He's charged with plotting murders. He's said to have been planning to kill two people. He also wanted over in the his purported involvement in a 4.4-ton, $440 million Ecky haul.
This is why you didn't know much about him, because he's good at hiding and seeking. He's good.
That's right.
12 years.
That's right. Well, the one thing that sort of surprised me is they said when they arrested him, he was just in a house with New South Wales Health Chief Kerry Chant. But yeah, her and her cats, they're all there together. But they did say that Kerry had a far better moustache.
This is Brian Henderson.
I'm Alan Jones.
I'm Vivian Chin.
This is Kent Brockman.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
The stories that will hit the headlines tomorrow.
Oh, and Hooli Dooli said where there's some news over the summer break. And probably the biggest news come from the Dungog Daily. Nun 80 steals $835,000 for gambling habit. I have sinned, she says.
Gambling habit. You get it? I see what they did there. Yeah, good stuff.
Good
Dungog
gear.
Daily. Yeah, that's great gear. Give that man a promotion.
Good to see you. Normie Dorrell's got a job. A Los Angeles nun and school principal who stole more than $800,000 to pay for a gambling habit was sentenced Monday to a year in federal prison. A nun in a female prison, Sid.
Yeah, I've got more to say about that later.
Pretty sure I've seen that movie. yeah, Sister
as
Anita.
As long as it's not a Russian nun, you can still watch that.
Sister Anita Hardcock, 80, admitted to stealing the money from 2008 to 2018 when she was principal at the Sisterhood of the Worn Candle High in the LA suburb of Torrance. Like an old glove.
The name seemed to have changed since I read this article, but anyway, continue.
She pleaded guilty last July to one count of wire fraud and money laundering in the US District Court. And Judge Bruce Dong also ordered Hardcock to pay back the school approximately $835,000 as restitution, the Long Beach Press-Telegram has reported. She said, "I have sinned. I've broken the law and I have no excuses. My actions were in violation of my vows, my commandments and the law, and above all, the sacred trust that so many have found in me. I was wrong when I put all the money on 23 red. I wish I had have gone 24 black. And I'm profoundly sorry for the pain and suffering I've caused so many people."
Just go to confession. Jesus doesn't care, as long as you say sorry.
Just put your hand up. No dramas. Although, not from my school, it's always deny, 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 but whatever. Prosecutors said that a plea agreement that the now retired elementary school principal acknowledged that she embezzled donations, tuition fees, and other funds. In her plea agreement, Hardcock acknowledged diverting money to pay for personal expenses that included credit card charges and large gambling expenses incurred at casinos, the US Attorney's Office said. When asked if she'd still be part of the church after this, Anita Hardcock said that, much like her bank account, she's always got none.
Wow.
It was a hell of a run-up, and it doesn't actually make sense when you read it.
Yeah, exactly. Did you find that story and think, okay, I'm going to finish it with that nun joke? That was amazing. Look, this first episode of the year, it's always a trial form. You know, don't judge us on tonight, people.
We're just getting our combinations together. We're like the dogs. We're not even sure he's playing halfback yet.
But this, you know what I was outraged most about this article? 12 months is all she got for me. That is outrageous for $835,000. But not surprising, if I'm honest. I remember Brother Job, I think, they like to pronounce it Brother Job, but I know better from this guy.
Oh, Eddie.
Yeah, Brother Job. Brother PDF76, he was known as in court. He only got an 18-month sentence.
Wasn't his brother Handy?
Andy.
Your sister, yeah, Blowing?
He only got an 18-month sentence for unspeakable crimes. I don't know why I'm making light of it. But I'm not sure. I'm like you. I don't know what they're going to do to a nun in jail. But Brother Job said the Crims gave him special treatment every day, and he loved every minute of it.
FCTTTB sounds like too many T's to me. FCTTTB, yeah, that's definitely too many T's.
Yeah, next story comes from the Runaway Bay Register. A man races to save woman washed up on the beach, only to make a shocking discovery.
Oh, that headline sounds like clickbait, and I want to click on it. What is the actual facts of these stories? Please tell me.
Well, a pensioner had the shock of his life when he raced to save a woman washed up on the beach, but discovered a human-sized headless sex doll. Colin Sniffer, 67, was looking for driftwood after a recent storm when he came across the mutilated silicon female body with all her bits on show, lying face down. The retired photographer said he always feared he would discover a human body during one of his regular sweeps along the beach, but was relieved to discover the victim was just a sex doll. After he put his pants back on and wiped the sand off his cock, he quickly called his partner over to take pictures. And they both left in hysterics, speculating where it may have come from. Colin of Portland, Dorset, which sounds like an absolute shithole, said it was a human-like figure, but it was too clean and too pretty. It did not have a head. Apart from its lack of a face, it was very anatomically correct. So as soon as I got to her, I knew it was a sex doll. I'm sure you did, Colin.
Yeah, old mate describes this sex doll as pretty, but it didn't have a head. My eyes are up here. Am I right, ladies? My eyes are up here. He didn't even notice.
I knew it was a sex doll, he said. Pick, tip and told Colt might have seen the back end of a couple of them, to be honest. I'm always out collecting driftwood after storms. Jeez, that sounds like good times. So I fully expected to see a human body one day, but never this. It certainly made my day. It just caught me by surprise, he said. We can only speculate where it came from. It's a busy shipping channel with loads of boats, so it could have come from one of them. Maybe a fisherman's wife found it in the cupboard and threw it overboard. Maybe it was mine and I was just giving it a good scene to in the dunes when I spotted my partner who was walking on the beach. Who knows? Anything could have happened. He said it did not have a head, so maybe a perverted fisherman got rid of it but decided to clear it out and keep the head. Or maybe I've given that head such a thrash and it just fell off. Again, who knows? We can only speculate as to what really happened.
We don't know what happened. He was reportedly later spotted back down the beach without his wife, running off with this said headless sex doll. Because as they say, former, give a man a fish and he'll eat for a day. Give a fisherman a sex doll and he'll never be bothered going out in that shitty rain and going fishing again.
F-C-T-T-B. Next story comes from the Gerringong Justice, Sid. Missionary sex is dull. I bend into a pretzel in the bedroom and men love it. That's not me saying that. That's actually the headline.
Oh, that's the headline. I got a little distracted there. I was thinking, what are you confessing to this for?
It's been a long summer. the self-proclaimed most flexible woman on in Instagram, Vi LaVonk, has opened up about her wild sex life, saying she can bend into a pretzel in the bedroom. The Spanish bombshell says her overly bendy body improves things greatly in the bedroom, with the dancer able to curve her frame into a pretzel, basically meaning she's dry and salty and she breaks when you dip her into something. The 38-year-old says that she does the splits while masturbating, which is the opposite to me, Sid. I'd masturbate if I could do the splits.
these pretzels are making me thirsty, former.
Salty. Smells like fish, tastes like chicken. Yay! Frequently blows social media users' minds with her incredible poses that appear to defy the laws of physics. But it turns out being bendy it just isn't good enough for the grim. It's also helpful during sex. I mean, who knew, Sid? the dancer, who thinks the missionary position is boring, likens her movements to a sexy circus act, with her flexibility seeing her master all the positions in the Kama Sutra.
All of them?
All of them. Probably not the rusty wheelbarrow, but we'll get to that later. And she comes up with a sum of her own too. She says, being bendy is amazing in the bedroom for myself and for the people I have sex with, she revealed. They can bend me in any position and the feeling can be so much more intense and deep while I have my legs up high, spreading them wide or arching my back. My partners normally can't do these flexible positions with others, so it's a big turn-on for them to have sex with me in weird poses. And she's dubbed her favourite position the pretzel pose, which sees her comfortably resting both feet behind her head while someone dips her in French onion dip.
I'm more a cream pie fan, to be honest, than pretzels.
I'm sure you are.
But to each their own.
The influencer also claims she's able to bend her head backwards and touch her feet while performing oral sex, as well as having sex standing with one leg behind her neck. Also gives her better orgasms, she said. I learned how to do this 2 years ago. Before that, I was only able to get one leg behind my head, amateur. I can bend backwards with my head touching my feet while giving oral sex, she said. I can imagine your sex life might be boring if you can't practice all these sexual poses in the Kama Sutra like I can, she said. Even if you masturbate, it feels so much sexier if you can do it in the splits. Your orgasms get more intense. Stretching is good for your blood flow, so it will feel easier aroused. Because stretching increases the blood flow and oxygen to your muscles, it also improves your energy, vitality, and stamina, said Sid. False advertising, in my opinion. I've been stretching for years and years, and it's never even got bigger.
I can just imagine you reading this going, oh, yeah, I could masturbate with a banana split. You just hear what you want to hear. Now,
I'm not going to lie. I did Google flexible on Pornhub later on that day.
Now, you only attach one photo of this
bird. Flexible Russians, but not flexible Russians.
No, not flexible Russians. We're off them. You only attach one photo of this bird to the rundown, and she wasn't very bendy in that photo. So I went and did my own research
for
her.
Good for you. This is what we expect.
It's what I've learnt on Twitter in the off-season, that cesspool that we call Twitter. Do your own research. Do your own research. Source, anytime someone tweets something that someone doesn't like, source, the first comment is always, source, question mark. Do your own research. So I did. I took Twitter's advice, which is always a good idea. Did my own research, and there were so many better photos you could have sent me of this chick. She's very flexible.
Oh, my God. You're so limber.
I'm just looking at them now on the big screen here.
Mm.
Sorry, what was I saying?
Well, it's quite the off-season, Sid, and we start with the biggest story to come out just this week, and it's Rugby League's number one reporter, staff writers from Fox Sports, have said that a fuming Canberra coach, Ricky Stewart, has blown up over a suspension loophole that has benefited other clubs, accusing the NRL of double standards and claiming, and I quote, it is the Canberra Raiders copying it up the arse again.
Whoa. Calm down, Sticky.
It's pre-season. He's just warming up. He's finding his combinations. The NRL on Monday approved reduced suspensions for Storm star Brandon Smith and Warriors fullback Reece Walsh, ruling that they were able to count the Indigenous All-Stars game towards their bans. It followed South superstar Latrell Mitchell having his ban reduced for the same reason, meaning he'll be returning in round two. In an explosive interview with the Daily Telegraph, Stewart vented frustration that Raiders veteran Jordan Rapana was denied access to the same loophole. The Raiders reportedly contacted the NRL Integrity Unit after the All-Stars match, but were told the rule would only apply for players suspended for on-field offences. Rapana, who was serving a suspension over a drink driving charge, was allowed to play by the Raiders, but then copped another two-match suspension for a shoulder charge. It is the Canberra Raiders copping up the arse again, said Ricky. That is the quote. I'm in disbelief and disgusted that as always seems to happen to us. We keep on copying it and copying it, and it seems to be get to the stage where you're absolutely fed up with it.
How good's this? We've got angry Ricky back. He's been quiet for a little bit.
If rugby league fans weren't warmed up before this, the juices must be flowing now with angry Ricky on board.
This will get the fans back to the game. You know what? I actually agree with Ricky on this. I thought these rules were set in stone and all of a sudden we're changing them. Remember when
100%.
Remember when Blocker Roach tried to fly overseas and play a few games so he could make the grand final? Like, this is why we have rules, and it's going to kill West Tigers that Brandon Smith's allowed to play. That was our only chance to beat Melbourne next week. I'm filthy about it too, Ricky. I wouldn't go so far as to say I'm copping it up the arse, but I kind of feel your pain, but just in a different way, Ricky.
Yeah, not literally. Fox Sports gun reporter staff writers report great signs for Brisbane fans for 2022. A super coach, Kevin Walters, has been forced to rein in his training methods after senior players feared burnout, complaining about the intensity of Brisbane's pre-season regime.
Wow.
The courier, The Courier Mail report that the Broncos high-performance program was under the microscope after players complained they were being overtrained heading into the 2022 season. Walters reportedly asked to ease up his training methods after consulting with skipper Adam Reynolds, senior players and head of performance David Ballard. Broncos legend Corey Parker said something but no one listened, but it was then reported that he said, "It's really strange that in a few different ways. First of all, there's an article written about the players complaining about how tough or hard it is after a long preseason of work. That's what everyone is doing. It's also strange that I'm reading about it. Those things, I believe, should be kept in-house. That's how it should be." Parker also found it odd that players would complain about training so far out from the season and recalling during his playing days about getting smashed by coaches right up until the week before round one.
Well, you know what? I don't often agree with Corey Parker, and this is going to be no exception. But they did look a bit tired, former, when they got smashed by one of the premiership heavyweights this year, the Cowboys, in a trial last weekend.
The no Broncos, shame in that.
The Broncos flew out to a 6-0 lead after 4 minutes, but fell away badly when they got a bit exhausted after playing footy for 5 minutes, and they got smashed 26-6. But it's okay. There will be no distractions up at Red Hill this year, former. Kevy, his manager's got him on a week-to-week contract up there. They always end well. There's not going to be any speculation surrounding him at the Broncos. But in a good news story for Kevy, he stands to earn an extra $100,000 if Brisbane wins the comp this year. Kevy, just a bit of advice for you. Don't go spending that money in advance. You're not getting that money, Kevy. You're not getting that.
And if Broncos fans want to jump on that same bonus if the Broncos win, just have $10 with them with Bluebet, because that's what the odds they should be anyway.
I still want the Courier Mail to put a front page, cut this out, put it on your fridge, Kevy's going to win a comp with Brisbane. That would be the best. We should do a T-shirt that says that.
Must be comforting to know that all the while... there's a bloke named Wayne Bennett taking pot shots at the club from the cheap seats.
And getting Corey Parker to send some pot shots as well.
Here, Corey, say this. Oh, yeah. Okay, Wayne. Okay, no, Wayne. Thanks very much, Wayne.
Do I have to say that, Wayne? No one's listening to you anyway, Corey. Just say it.
Dragons coach Anthony Griffin has pulled off one of the great Houdini acts by being granted a contract extension through to the end of the 2023 NRL season.
This guy has the same manager as Bo Ryan, I reckon. This is fantastic work from Griffin's manager.
I mean, this was done a couple of weeks ago, and to be fair, the same day you heard 15 clubs' hearts sink when they knew that they couldn't get it hooked until at least the end of 2023.
Well, it's made the Roosters jump today and sign up their coach for a further 5 years till the end of 2028, because I think they were looking at Griffin, but they've kept beasting Robinson instead.
Well, I know Brisbane have signed Kevy Walters for an extra week because of this news. the veteran mentor was under pressure heading into the 2022 season after speculation roared last year the club would not extend his contract beyond the end of this year. However, the club made a surprise announcement from out of nowhere on Wednesday, confirming that Griffin will remain in charge for a further season. Griffin's been the centre of the club's roster overhaul, with the club recently signing up-and-coming young stars Aaron Woods, George Burgess and Moses Mbai. The St. George Illawarra Dragons have also secured the services of premiership-winning coach Shane Flanagan as list management consultant. How did they get him, Sid? How did they get Shane Flanagan?
Well, former list manager Shane Flanagan has all the credentials as a list manager. He was in charge of the list for the salary cap at Cronulla. He had a list of people that were on peptides at Cronulla. He's very good at keeping lists. But this, when they say this St. George announcement was a surprise announcement, it was all done behind closed doors with members of the St. George hierarchy in their aprons with secret handshakes. I'm surprised it actually got out at all. Surprised we're even reporting this. How did we know this?
Apparently Shane Flanagan's longest list was all the times Stephen Dank changed his phone number.
all allegedly, whatever.
Whilst we're at St. George, They've pulled back its offer to Jack Bird, a move that could prompt Parramatta to make a play for the former New South Wales State of Origin forward. The Eels have money to spend next season and a void in the back row. Bird would seem the ideal fit and is understood the Eels have asked to be kept in form of developments with the Dragons star. Talks between Bird and his manager, David Riolo, and the Dragons stalled in recent weeks, prompting the Dragons to withdraw their offer. They indicated they would be willing to return to the table with a caveat that the landscape may change. The money that is there for Bird may not be there in the coming weeks or months. That must be comforting. The Dragons made it clear they won't be hanging around. They need to reinforce their squad for next season, and Bird's money could be put to better use, they said.
Yeah, I don't know. I actually don't know what St. George should do with Bird. He had a good season last year, playing 22 games for the Dragons after only playing 17 games over two seasons at his ill-fated trip up to the Broncos. But one thing I do know, former, I trust the recruitment people at the Dragons. They'll get the job done, man.
They've got a good list manager there at the moment. Cowboys coach Roddy Payton and new co-captain Chad Townsend have hit back at Broncos legend Corey Parker as a war of words broke out on the eve. Jeez, a war of words.
Yeah.
Talking about going to a war unarmed.
I love that the first episode this year we've done two St. George stories, but more importantly, two Corey Parker stories. Who's writing this shit?
Parker delivered a stinging appraisal of the Cowboys' new co-captains, calling for star forward Jason Taumalolo to be released from his $10 million contract and questioning marquee recruit Townsend's ability to recapture his 2016 premiership-winning form at the age of 31. But as the Broncos and Cowboys prepare for their final preseason games in Mackay last weekend, Payton and Townsend came out swinging at the former Brisbane Broncos skipper Parker. Payton underlined his regard for Townsend by naming the former Cronulla halfback as his co-captain. And then he took aim at Parker over suggestions he should release Taumalolo from the final 5 years of his $1 million a season deal. Parker told Code Sports, "The game has moved beyond him warranting that level of contract. A release is the only fix. You can't just ask him to cut his pay."
So you can't just ask him to cut his pay because he's got a contract. So Corey Parker's solution, rip up that contract.
I don't understand his point.
I don't understand what the hell's going on here, but Wayne Bennett's obviously got in Corey Parker's ear again and said, try and get Taumalolo.
I wish I knew how to quit
the Dolphins.
I wish I knew how to quit agent. You. Get him to the Dolphins. But I think rowdy Rodney Payton's future at the Cows hinges on whether he can get the best out of your boyfriend.
I wish I knew how to quit.
We'll cover off on that later because I've got a fair bit to say about the Cowboys and not a lot of it's good.
Well, with your boyfriend, he averaged 155 metres per game last season, which sounds pretty good. They're like, St. George would be happy if they got that out of Aaron Woods. Let's go down that path.
But for three games.
But 155 metres per game is Taumalolo's lowest average since 2014. He and Val Holmes are chewing up big dollars on the salary cap up there at the Cows, which means the Cowboys will inevitably lose players to keep them, and rowdy Rodney Payton has some headaches if the Cowboys don't come out firing, and I don't think they're going to come out firing.
No. Parramatta Eels winger Hayes Dunster said he has nothing but love for Tyrell Fuimoano.
Yeah, pretty sure that's not how you pronounce that, but keep going.
Fuimoano. Fuimoano.
Tyrell.
Who ended his season with a horror hip drop tackle. Fuimoano's tackle in the first half of Sunday's evening NRL trial game left Dunster in agony on the turf. Dunster required assistance leaving the field, and scans later revealed the tackle had ruptured the ACL, PCL and MCL in his knee, the old trifecta.
Yeah, I didn't even know there were that many CLs.
Yeah, I do. Dunster said he had no grudge against old mate whose sister he dates. He said, "There's no bad blood at all between Tyrell and me. I have nothing but love for him. And his sister Sil says, I'm a better kisser. Fuanu on Tuesday took the early guilty plea for his tackle, meaning he'll miss five matches.
Five
he was suspended
matches.
Late last year for a similar tackle on former Rabbitohs centre Dane Gagai.
You know what my problem with this these hip drop tackles are, former? If the player isn't injured, it's play on. Player injured could get 10 yeah. minutes in the sin bin or
point.
5 weeks on the sideline.
Good point.
I think there's a massive difference when a hip drop tackle is done by the third man into the tackle. That's no good. That's no good. But some of these tackles are blokes tackling around the waist and dropping down the legs. When other players come into the tackle, they all get tangled. Then it becomes a lottery whether it's play on or a player gets suspended or a player gets injured. This, I'm pretty sure, was created by the coaching staff down in Melbourne. Thank you very much, Melbourne, for creating another problem tackling. But it's a tough game, and some of these like, people were pointing out, oh, what about that? That's a hip drop. That's a hip drop. What about this one? It's a bit of a mess, and it pisses me off, to be honest. But let's
move on. I
agree.
Well, Penrith halfback Nathan Cleary is turning his hand to brewing. Cleary has partnered with UFC fighters Tai Tuivasa and Tyson Pedro. I became a shareholder of Drink West, Cleary said. It's a pretty cool opportunity and a journey I'm looking forward to. Hopefully it'll be all good. They have everything in place already, so I've just jumped on board with these guys, and we'll see how it all goes. It's not true the Panthers beer is made from the tears of Tigers fans, said Cleary. Cleary has also brewed his own signature lager, Choamps Bitter, named after the tattoo he got over the summer break.
I feel like a Choamps or two. I reckon it would have been a better fit if he joined with Cinzano. Cinzano? I don't know.
Very good. In a display of lazy journalism, Fox Sports have gone to former West Tigers board member Benny Elias, who blasted the club's decision to appoint five captains this season. The club has announced that James Tamau, Luke Brooks, Adam Dewey, Ken Mamola, and Tyrone Peachey will share the captaincy duties in 2022. It came just days after the last season skipper, Tamau, said he was happy to let someone younger at the club have the job. Elias told foxsports.com.au, that he spent countless hours defending the Tigers in recent years. I can't think of one time.
I actually Googled it. Ben Elias at News and tried to find where he defended the club over the past 5 years. But continue.
He said the latest decision from coach Michael Maguire blew me over. Why is it five captains? Why not three or nine? How did we land on five? It's embarrassing. Our supporters need to have a direction and strength of leadership on and off the football paddock. Well, we've got five leaders now, so we've got strength of leadership on the footy paddock.
Exactly. Look, I've got to be honest, it's a stupid decision, but not because Benny Elias told me it's a stupid decision. He'll say anything to keep his name in the papers. The former hooker, Balmain hooker, and developer of Balmain Leagues, just let that sink in, but it's dead set, always defended the club. Was that
roaring success.
Was that a typo? Defunded the club, did they mean to say? I'm not sure. But it is dumb having five captains. I get it. The teams obviously have a leadership group. We've been doing this for years. So five members of the leadership group makes sense. But have one captain. The problem that the Tigers have got is that one captain is probably Adam Dewey. But he's not going to be there for a few weeks. So what do you do? Do you put Peachey in until then? Or do you do like we all played under eights and everyone has a turn until Dewey comes back? It's stupid.
I agree. Although, one of the things I did notice, 2 days prior to this, the Titans announced something similar and it was rejoiced in the media. So
yeah, because Titans they're not as much clickbait as the old Mighty Tigers. It's lazy journalism, lazy journalism. Let's ring up Benny.
We'll end the NRL news with atrocities that happened over the summer. There was a pretty light-on season, to be fair. Raiders utility back Jordan Rapana, who we touched on before, he was caught drink driving on the Sunshine Coast. He pled guilty in Maroochydore Magistrates Court, has been fined $500 and is disqualified from driving for 3 months. NRL cocaine hell continued after Canterbury forward Ofahiki Ogden was charged with possession of prohibited substance by New South Wales police on the eve of the grand final. Yada, 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 yada.
It was
yada.
A mysterious white powder. We don't know. We're not sure.
Yeah, it wasn't on a table, so you're busted. An unregistered NRL player, Curtis Scott, pled not guilty, to domestic violence charges as court heard his ex-partner and accuser has moved into the same street as his current partner. The 24-year-old appeared at Sutherland local court for the first time since being charged with 8 offences a couple of weeks ago. Allegations of choking and assault have been made by Australian triple jumper Tay Leah Clark, who dated Scott when he played for the Storm in 2018.
Johnson, the step for the heavyweight championship of the world.
This is a famous victory. It's going to be Australia too.
Sports news.
Sid, the sport, summer of sport had a couple of big news stories. Obviously, other podcasts probably have already covered off on Australia, hosing the Poms in the Ashes, winning 4-0. Yep. And then the women's Ashes tour, the Aussies finished the series with a third one-day international win, won by 8 wickets with 82 balls to spare. All up, the two England cricket teams, men's and women's, went home with a 0-14 record.
Can I just say, on that women's cricket series was epic, but how good was it that it's all rated? You play a test match and you play one day.
I don't mind that.
I reckon that's a sick format. I don't know how you apply it to the men's game, but it was very entertaining.
I don't think that we should do it for the Ashes. I think the Ashes should be how it is.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't be adverse to it against, say, someone like New Zealand or even West Indies.
I'm not sure if it works. I'm just spitballing here. I'm just thinking out loud, but it's a cool concept, and it was super exciting, the women's cricket this year.
It wasn't bad at all, was it?
Yeah.
England's summer of cricket can be likened to English captain Joe Root's ball bag, which was struck about 20 times by Australian fast bowlers in 5 different states, as well as by his own fielding coach. Basically, Root had his balls in ice for pretty much 3/4 of the tour. And in tennis, Australia's little bloody beauty, Ash Barty, won the ladies' singles title, the first Aussie to win our home tournament for 40 years. Meanwhile, Nadal Rafael won his 21st Grand Slam men's singles title, the most in history, but obviously the jewel in the Australian Open crown is the men's doubles title, Sid. It's the one we've all been waiting for.
Absolutely.
And it was won by two real relatable and lovable Aussies, Kikkinios and his longtime mate, Placia Arcee and Mikokanakis.
The tennis, I'm not a massive tennis fan, but Ash Barty, that was epic. It was unreal. And the crowd down there in Melbourne, they've been locked up for about 14 years, not allowed to go anywhere. So they partied hard with the men's doubles guys running amok. It was a fantastic end to the tournament.
Yeah, but you can go anywhere to hear those type of stories, Sid. However, here at Full Credit the Boys, we're known for reporting on the real sports news.
Yes.
So let's start right now. AFL, yep. Hashtag talk other games down. Darwin Buffaloes footballer Thomas Bolch has reportedly received a 2-week suspension for drinking alcohol during a Northern Territory Football League match over the weekend.
So
on Saturday, footy emerged on social media of a spectator running onto Norbilt Oval in the fourth quarter of Darwin's Round 18 match against Southern Districts. The man presented Bolch with a drink near the goalpost, and the footballer took a sip, spurred on by spectators on the hill.
Mad.
Bolch was charged with a serious misconduct following the incident and reportedly copped a 2-week suspension. He also ordered to remove the video from his social media channels and write a letter of apology to AFL-NT.
Seriously, why? I don't understand. I don't this. Right, okay. It's only week one. This is only a trial game, really, for us on the podcast. I wasn't going to get angry this early in the season, but I'm going on a rant already. What happened to this once great country former? David Boone would be rolling in his grave seeing what we've become. A footy player has a sip of beer given to him by someone in the crowd. Why are we offended by that? Who's offended by that? You don't have to be offended by everything. You don't have to go out of your way to find something and be offended by it. No one ever died from being offended. Suck it up. I'm sick to death of hearing this. Like, what's the issue here? Children are watching? You think children are going to see this third grade footy player in the Northern Territory, an 8-year old's going to go, yeah, you know what? I'm going to go down the Botlow, get a cart, and develop an alcohol problem. This pisses me off deluxe. This is the great Australian way. Some idiot runs on the field, gives him a beer, has a swig. It's fantastic. But I don't know why I'm ranting to full credit to the boys fans. They're not easily offended. I might put this tweet out later and see what the Twitterverse has to say
yeah, do
about
that.
It. Anyway, thanks for listening to my Sid talk. Continue.
Winter Olympics. Hashtag talk other games down. Finland's Remy Lintum suffered a frozen penis as he revealed the brutal aftermath.
Hey.
Brutal aftermath of the men's 50-kilometre mass start race at the Beijing Winter Olympics. Lindham, who finished the race in 28th, needed a heat pack afterwards, having spent under an hour and 16 minutes on the course.
This is horrendous.
This time on the job, I'm tipping for the next couple of weeks. Organisers had already raised concerns about frostbite, delaying the race by an hour and shortening by 20 kilometres to try and account for the freezing conditions. It did little to help Lindholm, though, who told Finnish media about his uncomfortable ordeal. You can guess which body part was a little frozen when I finished. It was one of the worst competitions I've ever been in, said. It was just about battling your way through. When the body part started to warm up after the finish, the pain was unbearable, he said. Unfortunately for Lindholm, it was not the first time this happened to him either, with the 24-year-old suffering a similar ordeal last year while skiing in Finland.
What the hell is going on? The Winter Olympics... I'm sorry, anyone that stayed up and watched Winter Olympics. The Winter Olympics is stupid. It's full of stupid events. Whoever came up with these made-up sports should be shot. Imagine growing up thinking, I'm going to become an elite athlete in a sport where your dick could get frozen off. This is madness. Right. We're heading into Bruce Jenner territory here. This is ridiculous for him to turn around and say, yeah, it's not the first time it's happened to me. Just stop doing it, mate. Stop doing it. Don't compete. He came 28th. Who cares?
To be fair, but what is mentioned in that story is that Remy's hung like a rogue elephant and it's dead set. It's like a static strap at the back of your car dragging along behind you. Apparently it's that long, so...
Well, it'd have to be, because every time he goes out skiing, he loses a couple of inches. It's ridiculous.
Winter Olympics, hashtag talk other games down.
Yeah,
China.
Great. More Winter Olympics. Fantastic.
China reportedly brought anal swabbing back to detect coronavirus ahead of the Beijing Winter Olympics.
Okay, you've just got my attention. Good. This is a good thing.
Just 2 weeks out before the chili competition kicked off in China... the Chinese Communist Party were obviously keen on keeping COVID-19 transmission to an absolute minimum. Local newspaper, the Beijing News, says authorities have asked more than 24 people to submit to anal swabs to see whether they have the virus after a 26-year-old woman in their building tested positive. The anal swab is similar to the PCR or rapid antigen test, where a cotton swab is inserted, or in my case it was a baseball bat, about 1 to 2 inches inside a person's rectum. That swab is then sent to a lab to be analysed to see if there are any traces of the COVID-19 in the person's faeces. It's unclear whether athletes and their teams have been subjected to anal swabbing when they arrived at the Beijing Olympics, although the Greek team said they were keen.
Yeah, the Greek team didn't mind. Some of their ice dancers were reportedly upset, but that was because the swab only went in 2 inches. But imagine going to medical school for like 7 years and you'd say to your parents, yeah, I'm also going to the Olympics. They're like, wow, we're so proud of you. What are you doing? Anal swabs?
Yeah. Well, what I find funny about this is, reading back through that story, apparently only 24 people were subjected to anal swabs. Are we sure this wasn't just some rogue bloke walking around the suburbs telling us this is how we're doing it from now on?
It was from the Chinese media, so I trust that story 100% former.
Winter Olympics, hashtag talk other games down.
Come on, man.
After a horror summer for British teams, Great Britain will lick their wounds after a disappointing Winter Olympics and come back, as I quote, roaring and fighting for Milan Cortina in 2026.
Aren't we all forward to Milan Cortina? I can't wait.
I'm more a Chimera man, but I'll have a look at the Cortina anyway. Team GB won just 2 medals at Beijing in 2022, falling short of their target of 3-7. The women's...
We really wanted three. We only got two. Come back. The women's come back roaring and fighting in 4 years, boys and girls.
The women's curlers beat Japan to win gold on the final day of the games after the men won silver on Saturday. So for all that, they won two medals in curling. More than £22 million was spent on funding their sports in Beijing in 2022, with some receiving larger contributions than others. £9.5 million was spent on ski and snowboarding for a net zero return, and $6.42 was awarded to skeleton, with neither producing medals. Australia, one of the driest and hottest nations on earth, finished ahead of England on the Olympic table, winning a gold, two silvers and a bronze, while the Poms got a gold and a silver, and all that happened on the final day.
Yeah, what a proud sporting nation England has become. Two medals for curling. Woohoo! Well done. They've invented most sports in the world, but they're just shit at them now. We're down to the Poms only being good at darts. They're good at darts. Not much else. Oh, curling and darts. But having said that,
Is curling the one with the broom?
Yeah.
You push the broom back?
Yeah. It's an epic sport. Yeah, they should be super proud.
They won two medals in that, but if you replace that broom with a toothbrush, they'd look at you like they didn't know what the hell was going on. Tennis, hashtag talk other games down. Tokyo Olympics gold medalist and all-round shit bloke immortal, Alexander Zverev, was fined $40,000 by the men's professional tennis tour and will forfeit more than $30,000 in prize money and all ranking points from the Mexican Open after hitting the chair umpire's stand with his racket following a loss in doubles. In addition to those penalties, the ATP whacked him with a wet lettuce leaf and said that it would undertake a further review of the incident, and the governing body of men's tennis is under pressure to follow through with a suspension. It was very yada, 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 yada. He's also, in October, the ATP opened an investigation into Zverev, where a former girlfriend accused him of domestic abuse. The former girlfriend first made the accusations in 2020. Freedom March protester Novak Djokovic supports the ATP's tour to kick Zverev out of the Mexican Open for shocking umpire abuse, but the world number one understands how professional players react so sensationally in the heat of contest. Djokovic himself was kicked out of the US Open in 2020 for whacking a ball which hit a line person in the throat.
Look, I don't care if you hit a ball and it hits a line person or a ball boy. That's funny as fuck. But this was unbelievable from Zverev. It's not his go former. He's not.
No, he seems like a tremendous bloke.
Yeah, this was a misunderstanding. He accidentally tapped the chair umpire's chair 45 times, smashing his racket. It was not a good look. I just hope kids weren't watching it and aren't influenced by that.
Oh, won't somebody please think of the children?
It's more a reflection on how soft those rackets are these days, because he hardly touched that chair umpire's chair, despite the umpire throwing his legs in the air like he was about to lose them.
Yeah, it was bad.
Soccer, hashtag talk athletes up. Former Inter Milan star Adriano allegedly once cheered himself up after a failed transfer by spending $24,500 on 18 prostitutes.
Yeah, this is more like it. I hope they weren't Russian prostitutes, but good on him, I say.
The 40-year-old saw a move to French outfit Le Havre fall through in 2015 after departing Brazilian outfit Atletico Paranaense the previous year. The Liga 2 side had offered the 48-cap Brazil international a contract at Stade Oceani, with Adriano agreeing to the deal. But the proposed switch collapsed at the last minute after a takeover of Le Havre went wrong.
I'm pretty proud of those pronunciations from you. That was really good. Well done.
fell into them, I've got to be honest. According to Brazilian publication Extra, the 2004 Copa America winner consoled himself in the only way he knew how, by visiting a brothel. They state that Adriano flew from France back to Rio de Janeiro, where he splashed $24,500 on 18 sex workers.
Yeah, mad.
He took the group of women to a private party at Motel VIP, where he spent a further $16,500 on a binge until the early hours of the morning. Adriano was cleared in 2014 of drug trafficking after being accused 4 years earlier. Last year, the burly striker sold his mansion and all its belongings, except his medals, and moved into a luxury hotel at a cost of $18,000 a month. Just last month, Adriano allegedly refused a breath test after being caught driving without a license.
He's gone full tilt, this fella. I love him.
Got a bit of Brett Kine about him. Local reports say a refusal to take a breath test, which is considered a serious infraction under Brazil's rules, carries a fine of nearly $950. Don't know how he's going to scrape that together, and a 12-month ban from driving.
Yeah, after a $40,000 coke and hooker binge, he'll be filthy having to pay a $950 fine. Hopefully he is like Kite and defends himself in court and gets out of that fine. That's outrageous.
Take Brett Kine's lead and wear thongs to court. I find that always impresses everyone.
Anyone who hasn't seen that story, go look that up.
Formula One, I just love this story. Over the summer break, the Mercedes Formula One team, home of the very relatable everyday man, Lewis Hamilton, held an auction for charity where the prize was a tour of their Formula One headquarters. Now, it was described as a chance of a lifetime, Sid, for a Mercedes fan, as the winner and two friends got a rare insider's look behind the scenes of their new car. In the very secretive world of Formula One, this kind of thing isn't something that's offered to the public very often at all. But given it was for a children's charity, Mercedes were happy to offer up the opportunity. Ultimately, the winning bid was just over $10,000 Australian, and everyone was happy. That was until the winning bidder let everyone know that he'd won the experience. Rival Formula One boss Red Bull's Christian Horner announced on social media that he was the mystery bidder. He'd be taking his two friends, chief aerodynamics guy Adrian Newey and Paul Field, production director. Mercedes were not available for comment when Full Credit the Boys reached out to them.
That is epic. Well done.
NRL round preview brought to you by Bluebet. Bet Australian, bet with Bluey at bluebet.com.au or download the app today. Yeah, well, it's not the round preview. It's the season preview. See, we thought we'd go through each team individually. It won't take too long. We're not going to drill down on every team and tell you where they're going to be strong and where they're going to be weak, unless you're the
Dragons. I was going to give a full summary.
Well, I know people have been baying for that, but maybe... Yeah. Just keep it up your sleeve. Maybe we'll use it next week.
Okay, okay, cool.
Let's and in each of these two, I thought what we do is a four-word headline. Okay. So give me a four-word headline around this team. It's something we're going to be doing later during the year as well on each game.
How strict are we on these four words? Like, can it be three or can it be 20?
Four. It's got to be four.
Okay. Okay.
We'll go through the notable gains, the notable losses, and we'll also see where you think they'll end after the season proper. Not after the semi-finals or anything like that, just after the normal season. So let's start with the Broncos. We'll do it in alphabetical order. Yep. Obviously, they've got some big gains. They've gained Adam Reynolds, Kurt Capewell, Brinko Lee, Jordan Pereira, Billy Walters and Ryan James. They've lost John Asiata to the Freedom Rally. They've lost Xavier Coates, Anthony Milford, although rumours are he could even be going back there again, Sid. I don't know what's going on there.
It's all very strange.
Brody Croft has finally cut his ties and gone over to the UK, and Alex Glenn and Ben Teo has retired. Bluebet have them at $26 to win the comp, Sid. What's your four-word headline around the Broncos?
Okay, my headline coming out of the Broncos is Reynolds has buyer's remorse. I think he's going to be sitting up there and the Broncos are not going to go well and he's going to be filthy that he's headed up there.
My four-word headline is tail wagging the dog. I think player power up there is alive and well from what we can see.
Yeah.
Complaining about the hard workload in pre-season and, you know, I'm not sure the Kevolution is the way rugby league will be heading as a whole in the next 10 years. So
the Kevolution. Did you come up with Kevolution?
Nah, Ryan HG have credited that, I've got to be honest.
Well, it doesn't even matter if you came up with it or not. Let's put it on a T-shirt.
It seems to be the go these days.
It certainly does.
What's your prediction, mate?
My prediction for the Broncos is they will come 15th. It's going to take them a while to get going with Adam Reynolds. And they're looking tired already, Former. I don't know if they've been overtraining or what, but I don't think Adam Reynolds is the be-all and end-all. I think the be-all and probably end-all is Kevy's game plan each week, and I think Kevy's going to get sacked. He's not going to be able to spend that extra 100 grand. What do you got?
Yeah, I've got them at 12th. I think Adam Reynolds is class, and given that I don't think that there's 16 teams with great halfbacks, that might be the difference between them running in the bottom two or three and maybe just on the edge of the eight, on the edge. But, yeah, I agree with you. I'm not sure old mate's the bloke that I'd want to lead that team. Maybe there's a bloke up the road that should have been doing it. But anyway, the next team's the Raiders, Sid. They've gained Jamal Innocent Man Fogarty, and they've gained Adam Elliott and Nick Kotrick. Chotrich. They've lost George Williams. They've lost Ryan James. Havili, Bailey Simonson, Sia Soliola has retired. Curtis Scott and Dunamis Louis have been released. Bluebet have them at $19 to win the comp. Jeez, hasn't their window smashed? What's your four-word headline?
Well, I don't think the window is smashed. My headline is Ricky, he was due. I think they're in for a good season.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Yeah? I've got the four-word headline is Old Ricky will return. I think we'll see a few blow-ups this year in some press conferences.
Today might have
just been a little taster.
Yes.
What's your prediction for where they run?
I've got them coming third, believe it or not.
Wow.
I think Tapini is in for a big season. His wife's gotten in Ricky's ear. And this fella. I'm a savage. Yeah. Classy, bougie, bitch, I'm a savage. Xavier Savage is going to have a cracking season. Ricky's going to blow up deluxe, but I think they're going to go well. Maybe third. Maybe I got a little excited the other night when I wrote this. But you wait and see. That's me roughy for the year. You watch them go. Where you got them coming then?
11th.
Okay.
So I'm not sold. I still think they're light on in the halves, obviously, which is a genuine concern. Fogarty maybe gives him a little bit. I don't know. I'm not sure with all of that. I don't know. I don't think that they will. They'll be in and around again, that sort of eight, but I think they might just miss it again.
Lock them in for top four. Top four, you heard it here first. No one remembers in 32 weeks' time what I said here, so who gives a shit?
The next team's the Dogs. Well, they've just signed half the competition. They've got Josh Adokara. They've got Matt Burton and Brett Naden from Penrith. They've got Dufty and Vaughan from St. George. They've got Pengai Jr. From Brisbane via Penrith. They've got Braden Burns from Souths and Reece Hoffman from the Tigers. Good move, Reece. They've lost Nick Meaney. They've lost Will Hoppawattie, Adam Elliott, Nick Kotrich, Christian Crichton, Dylan Napa will be greatly missed. Ogden, Katoa. Lachlan Lewis has got a new job at JB Hi-Fi Audio, so he's left. They've lost a few. They've turned the roster over. You'd say that the signings are impressive on paper, but they've been ugly. They were ugly last night against the Cronulla Sharks. They look like they're in sixes and sevens. And funnily enough, sixes and sevens where they're going to be short, especially around the seven.
Exactly. Yep.
They don't even know who they're going to play there from what I can see. Kyle Flanagan and then I don't know. Like, it's just an absolute mess at the moment. They're 2 weeks out from the competition and I've got my big doubts on them. Bluebet also have huge doubts on them. They've got them at 26-1, although they might have blown out after last night, Sid. What's your four-word headline around the Bulldogs?
Well, after hearing all that, it's just confirmed my headline. Dreamy Eyes is gone. He will be the first coach sacked, but he will also be the dead set sexiest coach sacked in 2022. I think his days are numbered and he knows it.
I've got Gus says Barrett tired.
He's
know
looking
he doesn't
a bit
like
tired
a tired coach.
He's looking more tired than Broncos players at the moment. It was a terrible effort in the trial. He's on borrowed time. Gus Gould's already delivered cardboard boxes to his office.
Yeah. Well, that was going to be my other headline, Barrett gathering cardboard boxes. what's your prediction?
12th. Where you got him?
I've got him 13th. To be honest with you, I get the feeling that Barrett won't finish the season as coach, and yep. I think that the sooner they do that, the bigger chance that the Dogs are of improving. So
that's why I had him so high at 12th. I think they're
you think it might happen early?
Yeah, I think so. You normally back in the Bulldogs every year. You got a little bit of a soft spot for them, but no, you're right off them this year.
Geez, Dean Pay must be sitting back going, what have I got to do? What have I got to do?
Exactly.
The next team's the Sharkies. They've gained Dale Finucane, Nico Hines, Cameron McGuinness from the Dragons, and Matt Ikavalu from the Roosters. They lost Will Chambers. They lost Josh Dugan, who's still lost out somewhere trying to find where Lithgow is or something. they've lost Nene McDonald. Bluebet have them at 17-1, Sid. First of all, what's your four-word headline for the Sharkies?
Well, looking at my summary here, I did not do a four-word headline, so let me just stall for a moment. We're looking at those gains and losses. Finucane, I know he's getting on in years, but he's a good purchase. Nacho Man, Nico Hines, he's dreamy as fuck. Cameron McGuinness, I believe he's injured, but he'll be a good pickup. And Ikavalu, let me do a headline. Things are looking good. I think the Sharkies, yeah, they don't look too bad. I always death ride the Sharkies, much like you always back in the Bulldogs. I always death ride the Sharks, but I'm not sure that I can this year.
My four-word headline is probably there or thereabouts. Where's your prediction for them?
Well, looking at this again, obviously I'd had a few beers when I did the Cronulla one because I've got them coming 9th. Every year I tip them to not make the 8, and every year they make the 8. But, yeah, I don't know. They stick it to me every year. But I'll tell you what they're going to miss this year. They're good purchases that they've got, but Aaron Woods is a big loss for them.
Massive loss, yeah. Chad Townsend as well. Obviously, he didn't play there last year, but I've got them for 9th as well, mate. I think they will be there or thereabouts. They're an unbelievably honest team. They have been for the last sort of decade. Every time I look at them on paper, I think they're not much chop. And every time I get to around September, I think they're still there. So I don't think much will change again this year. I think they'll be in and around the 8 and could even, when I say 9th, a lot of these are around depending on the injuries and things like that. So 9th, 8th, 7th, 6th, nothing. Yeah.
I do want to say all my tips here have a margin of error of plus or minus about 12.
Yeah. So,
when I say they're 9th, they could win the comp like undefeated. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm having a crack.
I don't think so. No. The next team's the Titans. They've gained Isaac Liu and Will Smith. They've lost Tyrone Peachy to the West Tigers. It's crazy you'd let an immortal go. They lost Jamal into Sandman Fogarty. They lost Ash Taylor. They lost Mitch Rain. And Anthony Don retired, as we all know. Bluebet have them at 17-1, Sid. What's your four-word headline around the Titans?
Titans, here we go. This is their season. Titans are looking good. I really like them.
Yeah, I've got my four-word headline is no Fifita, no Titans. And I think they put a lot of, obviously they place a lot of pressure on if he performs, they perform sort of thing. I'm the same as you, but I really think that this could be their year. They'll break back into the 8. I've got them at 7th. Where have you got them?
Well, the reason why I don't have a spot for Cronulla, not only because they've lost Aaron Woods, is because the Sharkies will get pipped for a final spot. Probably on for and against, it's going to be that close, but they're going to get pipped by the Titans. The Titans are in for a good year.
Yeah, I think the same, mate. The next team's the Seagulls. They've one gain of note is Ethan Bullimore from Brisbane. They've lost Curtis Sirenin over to England. They lost Cade Cust to England. They lost Moses Suli and Jack Goziewski to the St. George Illawarra Dragons. Bluebet have them at $7.50, Sid, if you don't mind. What's your four-word headline first up?
My four-word headline is, how is your hamstrings? I think it all hinges on that.
Yeah, well, mine's very similar. Can Turbo repeat 2021?
Exactly. They started horribly last year. Everyone was writing them off, you and me especially. But as soon as Tommy Turbo came back, they were on fire. I've got him finishing fifth, but yeah, it all hinges on him.
I got him at fourth. I think they'll be right on the money, especially if Turbo stays fit and healthy. He's an absolute freak. It's funny how the different ways of people managing their cap. You've got Manly, who pretty much have three genuine superstars, and then nothing against the other blokes, but just a lot of filler. But then you have other teams that they try and balance out just a level of all of stars across the field. And Dez seems to know what he's doing at the moment, or from last year's evidence anyway. He looks like he's got it down pat. So yeah, I think the same thing, mate, around fourth. The Storm are up next. They've gained Xavier Coates, Nick Meaney, Josh King, and Jaden Nicarima. They've lost Josh Adokar, Max King, Dale Finucane, Nacho Hines, and Branko Lee. Bluebet have them at $4.80, exactly what you probably expect. Sid, what's your four-word headline for the Storm?
Can they do it? I'm not sure that they can, but again, this is another team I write off every year and it comes to bite me in the ass.
Yeah, my four-word headline is, where ordinary become superstars.
Yeah.
You'll go down. Xavier Coates will be one of the top try scorers this year, not a doubt in the world. Nick Meaney, I'm telling you now, is a way better player than Canterbury have allowed him to show. I bet you he is one of the best players down there this year. I think that they are in it up to their necks as usual. Nothing surprising there, especially if it is Bellamy's last year. Munster, they reckon's off the piss and is fit as a fiddle. Cheese will want to prove that his heart still is in the joint, so he'll probably play the house down. There's a few other blokes going to the Dolphins at the end of the year.
So yeah,
I think it's a really big year. I think there'll be a lot of blokes playing the house down, or with a lot of motivation around them. So yeah, I think they'll run second by the end of the normal competition. Where have you got them?
Well, for exactly all those reasons that you just mentioned, I've got them finishing seventh. They've never had so many players leave. I know they had the big three all go at once, but that was all planned. This time they've lost, like we said, Adokar, Finucane, the Nacho Man, a few others, and already they've lost for next season players to the Dolphins. So this is a little different for the Storm. But you can't beat class. They'll make the eight again. Let's just see if they're all firing. I agree with you. Munster, he looks fit as and focused. So you can't write the Storm off.
Well, you did. You put him in seventh.
They can still win. They can still win from seventh.
The next team's the Knights. They've gained Dane Gagai, who's gone back there again. They've gained Adam Clune, who apparently is impressive, according to Andrew Johns. They've lost Blake Green, they've lost Connor Watson, they've lost Josh King, and Mitchell Pearce, of course. Bluebet have them at 26-1 to win the comp. Sid, what's your four-word headline around the Knights?
I don't think so. I don't like them at all, to be honest. I think they're going backwards.
It's funny, toed and froed with this mob. I looked and looked. My four-word headline is optimism with Coach Joey. I didn't know what to do with him in the end, and I put him eighth with no certainty.
Well, a four-word headline I'd like to see is Brooks is on his way. Brooks is on it. That's five. But, yeah, I've got them at 11th. Any team that was desperate to sign Luke Brooks – obviously has some issues. The Ponga contract drama will be a distraction. There's no denying it. I think it's going to be a tough year for the Knights.
Brooks buys Newcastle apartment.
Yeah, wouldn't that? That'd be a fantastic headline.
The next team is a team of real interest. They're the Cowboys. They've gained Peter Hicku. They've gained Chad Townsend, as we've spoken about earlier. And they've gained Brendan Elliott from the UK. They've lost Michael Morgan, Justin O'Neill, Jarvid Bowen and Lachlan Burr, who all retired. They lost Francis Molo. He went to St. George. Sid, Bluebet have them at $41. What's your four-word headline around the Cowboys?
My four-word headline is Taumalolo's car door blamed. I think he's going to... I think he's going to have some more hand injuries. He won't want to be a part of this season at all. What do you got?
My four-word headline is playing roster looks messy.
Yes.
They've got three halves. They've played a lot for one of them that I don't think anyone would have thought was a good buy. Again, how they play Taumalolo is going to be of interest. They've played him out on the edge last year, which was an absolute flop that just basically made him way less potent. With the ball in hand.
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, his running meters were his worst in 8 years. Yeah. Ridiculous.
They've got Valentine Holmes now playing in the centres, yet he's on monster money up there.
Well, that's like what you were talking about with Manly, where they seem to have the balance where these no-names have come through and had a good season last year, but all their eggs are in one basket with Cherry Evans... And Trebojevic's. It's the same kind of thing up at the Cowboys where you've got Taumalolo and your fullback playing at center just to justify having you on the field. Their whole salary cap is tied up with Taumalolo and Val Holmes.
And now Chad Townsend.
And I don't think they've got the right balance up there. I think they're going to do it real tough. And I think Rowdy Rodney Payton, it all hinges on getting the best out of Taumalolo, which he did not do last year.
Yeah, massive pressure on Roddy. Where have you got them running?
I've got them coming stone cold, motherless last.
Yeah, as I do.
Yeah, all right.
As I do. I ummed and ahed. I changed my 15th and 16th teams a couple of times, but ultimately, at the end of the day, I've got the Cowboys coming last. I mean, they looked okay against Brisbane the other night, but...
But it was against Brisbane.
and it's a long season. If there's a lot of turmoil like there was last year, especially in the players' ranks, yeah, I don't know. I do not know.
Yep.
The next team's the Eels. They've had a couple of gains in Bailey Simonson and Mitch Rain. They've lost Jerry Lussick. They've lost Will Smith. They've lost Blake Ferguson, who's now up in the world's toughest prisons. He's starring in one of the episodes up there. They've lost Jordan Rankin and Keegan Hickgrave has retired. Bluebet have them at 13-1, Sid. What's your four-word headline around them?
Well, I think that 13-1's looking pretty juicy. My headline is Mitch Moses, Dally M. Yeah. Again, see, if I predict it and it doesn't come true, I can't lose here.
My four-word headline is top six, that's it.
Yeah, probably. That's where Mitch has to step up. There's a lot of players leaving Parramatta at the end of the season. This is his chance to absolutely shine and take these guys because they've still got a good team on paper and they had a good season last year. But like you say, can they get through the semis?
I don't know, mate. I just think – I don't know whether it would be great to have a team that you know is going to be in and around the top four, five and six – every year, but in all truthfulness, you don't think you can win the comp. I don't know whether that's a great team to follow or a shit team to follow. I don't know.
Oh, I'd just be happy that my team played in the semis, but you know, it gets a bit annoying when you can't win a comp and you keep making the semis. We've at least got 2005. What do they got, 87 or something?
I just like a team that doesn't turn up to the final round of the year with their passports in their pockets. It's a bit frustrating. Yeah, so look, I think they'll run. Where have you got them running?
I've got them coming second, but then, yeah, probably bow out in the semis. But I'm backing them in. I'm backing them in former. They're going to go further than last year.
I've got them running fifth. In and around again. I think.
They certainly should be top four.
Yeah, absolutely. They've got some class across the field. So,
yep.
Yeah, they'll definitely... I'll definitely have people looking over their shoulders. And you know they're going to go on a long run at some stage where they'll win probably 10, 12 games. you know, almost straight, if not, you know, maybe drop one amongst 12 or something like that. So
yeah, it's all on Mitch Moses. If he can get that Deli M, they'll go a long way.
Well, it's going to be hard playing State of Origin as well, but okay. the next team are the defending champions, the Panthers. They've gained Sean O'Sullivan as a bit of a backup half. They've gained Chris Smith and Christian Crichton from the Dogs. They've lost Matt Burton. They've lost Brent Naden and Tevita Pangai Jr. all to the Dogs. Kurt Capewell's gone to Brisbane. Paul Momorowski's gone to the Roosters. And Tyrone May's gone to TikTok. Bluebet have them at $4.60 to defend their title. What's your four-word headline around the Panthers?
Weight on Chinocchio's shoulders. There's massive weight on his bung shoulder, I think.
Hmm. They say he's really slimmed down over the off-season, Sid. Is that fair to say?
Yeah,
I've
got a little birdie out at Panthers. He's told me that Nathan Cleary has lost a lot of size after undergoing shoulder surgery in the off-season, which you can imagine. You can't be training whilst you're in hospital. That's right. But there's going to be a lot of weight on those shoulders to see if they can follow up last year's premiership. Let's see what happens.
My four-word headline is premiership hangover, only danger. I think they will be definitely top two teams for the year.
It is tough to defend a title. Everyone will be out to get them.
Yep. But they were out to get them last year, mate. We knew they were good. They'd already gone well the year before as well. So,
Stupid Melbourne losing to them in the grand final qualifier. I've got them coming fourth. They're class.
I think they'll win the minor premiership again. Yeah,
they're a class team, even though I hate Judas Cleary. I've got to be unbiased sometimes, so I snuck him into the four.
The next team are the Dragons. And
what's the team after that? No, all right, we'll talk about the Dragons. Go on.
They've gained Jaden Sua and Tautai Moga from South Sydney. Francis Molo has come down from North Queensland. George Burgess has come from Wigan. Moses Mbai is from the Tigers, obviously. Suli from Manly. And Aaron Woods, the prize signing. How'd they get him, Sid? From Cronulla.
They jumped early.
They've lost Tyron Wishart to Melbourne, who apparently played a blinder the other day in a trial.
He looks already. He looks exactly like his old man for the older listeners.
Had a hell of a night on the drink with his dad many years ago.
Yeah, we'll tell that at a live show.
Matt Dufty and Paul Vaughan have gone to the Dogs. Adam Clune's gone to Newcastle. Jordan Pereira is the up at Brisbane. And Corey Norman is retired, Sid. Bluebet have them at $51, rank outsiders to win the comp. What's your four-word headline around this mob?
Woods leads the way.
To where?
To 13th, if you're asking. They're going to come 13th. What's your headline?
Hook's contract extension, genius.
Yes, that's so true. And by the way, I love Woodsy as a bloke. He's a great bloke, but the recruitment at St. George is it leaves something
questionable.
To be desired, yeah.
I have them running 15th.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
I wonder, but I did watch their trial the other day. I can't remember who they played, actually. But they actually could look quite good, I've got to be honest.
Mate, they've got some fantastic young blokes and a lot of good backs, but I just can't see their pack dominating for these guys who are still young in their career, early on in their career. There's a lot of good signs for St. George, but just not this year, I don't think.
I've got them running 15th. I did have them at Wooden Spoon, but yeah.
It's,
in and around.
It's nothing to worry about, you St. George fans, because we death ride the Dragons every year. And we're not very accurate with our tips, but I think we will be this year.
At least you'll know in and around Anzac Day, you're probably in the top four somehow, and you'll be getting your tattoos out again.
If they can play the Tigers early up and I haven't looked at the draw, then you know there's some hope. But yeah, by April, you'll be screwed.
The next team's the Rabbitohs. They've gained Anthony Milford, although have they? They've gained Michael Cheekham and they've gained Havili from Canberra. They've lost Adam Reynolds. They've lost Jaden Sua. They've just lost Moga. They've lost Dane Gagai, and they've lost Benji Marshall to retirement. Bluebet have them at $10 to win the comp. Obviously, the missing piece of the puzzle there is Adam Reynolds. Sid, what's your four-word headline around the Rabbitohs?
Well, I only need three words. Bring back Reynolds. That's a big loss for them. And I
bring
think
back
gonna...
Adam Reynolds.
Ah, yeah, I could have done that. Bring back, can I have another go? Bring back yeah. Adam Reynolds. I think both Reynolds and the Bunnies are going to be filthy halfway through the season that they parted ways.
Yeah. My four-word headline is pressure on Cody Walker.
Yeah.
With Adam Reynolds. Adam Reynolds gone. Oof.
He's a good player.
Very good player, but I'm not sure he's going to have that space now with Adam Reynolds gone. There's going to be a lot more pressure on his shoulders.
And he's a bit of a hothead.
Yes.
I saw Buzz Rothfield did a whole article on it, so it must be true. No, I'm backing him in to have a good season. I've got him coming sixth. Where you got him?
Eighth. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they'll make the eight, but after that, I'm not so sure.
Well, Wayne Bennett never leaves a club and they perform better the following year. He normally leaves them in a bit of a hole to make himself look good. And they got all the way to the grand final last year. They'll be good, but without Reynolds, can they go one better than last year? I don't think so.
Mm. The next team's... No, I don't think so either. The Roosters are the next team. They've gained back Connor Watson, Paul Momorowski, Kevin Nagama, Sid.
And he played well.
The Roosters.
Played well the other night.
He did. They've lost Jake Friend, Boyd Cordner, Brett and Josh Morris, and Dale Copley have all retired. Isaac Liu's gone to the Gold Coast, and Mac Ikavalu's gone to Cronulla. Bluebet have them at 6-1. What's your four-word headline around the Roosters, Sid?
I'll tell you what my four-word headline is, and then I'll explain it to you. But my headline is Momorowski does it again. Let me explain that. In 2018, in 2018, he was at the Roosters. They won the comp. In 2019, he was at the Tigers. Let's not mention that year. In 2020, he got loaned out to the Storm and they won the comp. Then he came back to the Tigers and got loaned out again in 2021 at the Panthers, who won the comp. And now he's back at the Roosters. So lock him in. This is my prediction. Premiers this year will be the Roosters. The Momorowski effect. You can't go past it.
My four-word headline is injuries, their biggest worry.
Oh, 100% that is true.
Yeah, Sammy Walker is a young bloke who's had a few shoulder injuries already, which is a concern. Apparently he's put on size this off-season, which is good. It'll probably, you know, it's going to be handy because there's going to be big blokes running at him all year. Yeah, injury's been a real sort of bugbear for the Roosters, Sid, and I don't know why. It's just luck, I guess.
They had a shocking season last year with injuries, but they still perform well. On that Momorowski effect, look out for that to be emblazoned on a T-shirt, probably not by us and Mayor Inc., but someone someone will come along and do that T-shirt. Tracy, let's get that on a T-shirt ASAP.
Well, look out for my new Bloke in a Bar T-shirt I've got coming out.
Yeah, that'll be good. I've got a NRL Toast shirt coming out. It's going to be good.
Where have you got them coming, did you say?
I've got them winning the comp. Momorowski effect, mate.
Yeah, but do you think they'll finish first at the normal season?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I think like I said, and you said with injuries, Luke Keary last year played three games, I think. He's now had 12 months to recover from injury. It's going to be tough coming back from injury and getting fitness up, but his stats were phenomenal at the beginning of the season. If he plays the whole year, the Roosters are a chance of winning the comp.
Yep. I've got them at third, but again, like you say, injuries and luck give you a plus or minus or two spots. I would not be surprised if they were, you know, even minor premiers by the end of the year. Next team's the Warriors. They've gained Sean Johnson back from Cronulla. And Aaron Penne from Melbourne. And Ash Taylor from the Gold Coast. They've lost RTS. They've lost Paul Turner. Peter Hicku, Chad Townsend, Kane Evans, Leeson Armau have all left. They're at 34-1 to win the comp. What's your four-word headline around the Warriors?
I think their whole season hinges on this. Dreamy Eyes contract negotiations. There's going to be a lot of talk about Reece Walsh throughout the whole year, and it's going to be too distracting for Nathan Brown, who's really just a rebuilding coach. By his own admission, he can't win the comp, so they're not going to win the comp.
Yeah, that's something I'd put on my resume if I was a coach, but, you know, who am I to argue? My forward headline is, where will they play?
Yeah.
And
does Reece Walsh even have a passport yet? Like, if they went home,
apparently he might have just got one.
Can he go there? Yeah, interesting.
I'm not sure. Like, if they have to play out of New Zealand again, I think that they will fall in a heap this year. I think they'll just be like, oh, this is just too much. I've got them coming ninth, but I think I've got another team coming ninth. So I don't know. Some eagle-eyed viewer will probably feel out which one that should be. I think about 14th is the one I haven't used. So I'll chuck them in at 14th. I'm not disappointed with that.
Well, that's where I've got them as well. I've got them coming 14th. I think the Reece Walsh situation at the Redcliffe Dolphins, they're interested. Everyone would be interested in old Dreamy Eyes. It's going to be too much of a distraction for them.
The next team is the Tigers, Sid, and they've gained 4 future immortals, which is unbelievable. Jackson Hastings, Oliver Gildart from Wigan, Tyrone Peachy, and Stafford Toa from Newcastle. They've lost they've cut some deadwood. They've lost Moses Mbai, Billy Walters, Michael Cheekham, Joey Leilua. What will we do without him? Reece Hoffman, and Sini. Everyone's cult hero has also been released, I understand.
Yeah.
What's the odds you've got on Matt Sid?
51.
Sorry, not the odds. My mistake. What's your forward headline? You're at
$51. $51 with Bluebet. No, that's fine. $51 with Bluebet. Money for Jam. No, it's not. Even I put West Tigers 6th every year, but I'm not going 6th this year. We're going to come 10th. And my headline is Brooks signs with Knights.
My forward headline is season decimated by Origin. that's the only thing keeping us out of the eight this year. Look, there's already huge pressure on Madge Maguire. I'm genuinely concerned about how that's all going to play out.
That pressure is only from staff writers at Fox Sports, namely Hoops. I think
Benny Elias.
I think what's
Buzz Rothfield hates him.
I think what's going to hamper the Tigers is Dewey not being there from the start. I think Dewey should be our captain, as I said earlier. I think Hastings and Dewey will be able to salvage our season, but it'll be too late once Luke Brooks departs. Let's hope we can get to 10th and Madge stays on when we get some more troops next year. All is not lost, Tigers fans.
Yeah, I've got him around 14th or something. Somehow I've dogged all this, but it's back end of the back end of this competition. So, I think we need to ride out a bit of a storm initially and then we'll see where we're at. Let's get through the first 8 weeks because
That
might be where we see what the future of Madge Maguire.
Exactly. When we're 7 wins from her first 8 weeks, it's going to be great. It's going to be great.
Roll the sack, open the sack, empty the sack. The boy is sad.
Yeah, the boys sacked mail and feedback time. Let's put a stamp on the back end of this show, Sid, and we'll start with the tipping comps back. You can go to NRL.com, go to their tipping menu, and put in the comp code Z3H4CK9W. That's Z3H4CK9W. Join that comp. Play against all the creditors. Last year, I think there was nearly 200 starters. Obviously, you know, you only care about who's leading at about the halfway mark, and that's always me. So,
And yeah, I always, so that, always send out a big prize to the winner, and we've got a big dick trophy here that your name goes on. It sits in my studio. Yeah, perpetual trophy. It sits in my studio. You don't get it because I don't trust any of you to send it back to me the following season. So it sits here on my speaker. I'll put some photos up later in the year. It's a perler.
What do you got?
We've got a live show. We normally do one before we kick off the season, but this year, because of COVID and all sorts of caper, I'm not sure if you've heard, there's a war going on and shit. So we're doing our live show on the 9th of April at Oatley RSL. We've got famous referee Bill Harrigan and Spud Carroll. I did a show with Spud Carroll last week. The man, he's a man mountain, and he can play the guitar, and he's hilarious. So come along to that show. Go to our website, fullcreditpodcast.com. Come along to that show. What do you got?
Grab a Mirror is back from next week.
Yes.
I was going to put it on this week, but, I just can't.
You love Grab a Mirror's.
It's the bane of my existence, not going to lie.
But so, brought to you by NDF Group. They're a group now.
It's also a strict top 10 again this year. And also we might have a rotating little segment somewhere during the year as well, or sorry, during each podcast as well, including a new segment brand new to this podcast.
That sounds interesting. You're talking in riddles. Just let me know before we actually go live on that idea.
Surprise.
Full credit to the boys TV is also coming out. You might have seen, if you're a Patreon subscriber, we put one out around Christmas. It's more dick jokes that we sometimes can't tell on the show. It goes into our Full Credit to the Boys TV, or we do it on a live show. So become a Patreon subscriber. We're going to do once a month Full Credit to the Boys television. I'm a TV star now. TV star. Now Bert Newton's gone. I'm stepping in.
R.I.P. Bert. Bluebit and Duncan McRae will be back from next week previewing each round. The good men of Bluebit and the very popular, especially with the ladies, Duncan McRae will be back. We'll chat to him, get his tips, and then, we'll also put him in the tip and comp so we know where he's running.
Boosts our female audience having Dunk on, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. I don't like him. Don't like the cut of his jib.
You don't like him? It's cutting your grass. He's a great fella. Actually, all of our sponsors...
reducing the field, put it that way.
All of our sponsors are back on board, including Rode Microphones. I get more free shit from Rode. It's great. But exciting news for us, former Mayor Inc., MEHINK.com.au. Mayor Inc. is now running all of our merch from her website, and it is some sick merch. If you've got some bloke that you got to buy a gift for, you never know what to buy them. Don't buy them a carton. Go buy some cool Full Credit to the Boys.
There's actually some good packs there. The golf pack's the one I'm keen on.
Yeah, the overnight pack. There's even a picnic blanket.
I've always got an overnight pack at the door ready just in case.
Yeah, so you should. No, there's some good stuff there. We're also going to run some products from NRL Roast and Bloke in a Bar. No, we're not. We don't pinch other people's merch. What else you got before we finish this?
Well, this year, former Legends Trivia has bit the dust. But taking its place is a new segment. Might need a song for this or some sort of music around it. But it's the
first I'm hearing of it, so give me some time.
Yeah, I'll give it to the end of this segment. It's former Legends Golden Mushroom Shiitake Awards.
Yeah, nice.
It's the absolute shit take from each week from the world of Twitter mainly, but it can be from other places, I guess. So I thought I'd hit the ground running with one that I've got a couple collected over summer, but this one was from the Telegraph, the Daily Telegraph Sport, and it's a tweet about Ash Barty. Just as she was about on her way to win the Australian Open, they put out a tweet and accompanied by a story that said, "Is Ash Barty too good or her opposition not good enough for her to be great?" Fair dinkum. Only 11 months, guys, and you can boo Santa Claus and King Hit Rudolph. Fair dinkum.
What a shit take, a shiitake, as we call it around here.
That is an absolute. They are clubhouse leaders at the moment for the Shiitake Awards, the absolute shit taker of the week, the Telegraph Sport. Follow them if you want some good humour.
It's where I get all my good news from, that and and Chinese media.
Source? Question mark.
Source. Do your own research, people. We're not telling you. Source.
All right, we'll talk to you all next week. Things will return to normal. I know that you've had 3 months to save up your best grabber mirrors. I can't wait to hear them. Until then, and probably, I'm pretty sure Putin might get a run at some stage in grabber mirror this week.
My mate Pooty.
Until next week, have a great week. Enjoy the last week before talking to your family before you go back into the world of rugby league. And we'll talk to you then.
See you later.
See you around.
I got a love, but I ain't got a